Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Sorry for the late start tonight. Had some stuff come up this afternoon that I had to take care of. So for those of you that are joining the live stream, thanks for staying up with me. Appreciate that. Today we've got quite a bit of news on Tesla stock. Record volume day for Tesla for the last year. We've got quite a few comments from Elon on Tesla today as well. Of course, we do have the China weekly insurance numbers, updates on Giga Berlin, and a few other items as well. So looking at the stock, we'll start there. Obviously, a significant underperformance again for Tesla today, down 4.1%, closing at a two-year low, unfortunately, of $160.95, while the Nasdaq today was up 1%. Most of the market reacting positively to the CPI report this morning, which we'll talk about here in a second. But starting off with volume, we can see significant outlier for today, almost 175 million shares traded. That compares to the volume, the average daily volume for the last year of about 82 million. So this is about 111% higher than average. For comparison's sake, the Nasdaq's average daily volume, or the Nasdaq's daily volume today, was 5% above average. So definitely an outlier for Tesla today, both in terms of the share price performance and in terms of the volume. Obviously, that has led people to speculate that maybe Elon Musk is selling. Personally, I don't hold that point of view. Definitely have been wrong on that before. The last time people kind of assumed Elon was selling, though, that consensus was wrong as well. So we never really know. I don't think Elon is selling in this case because, like I said, he has been talking quite a bit about Tesla on Twitter today. To my recollection, during previous periods of time when he was selling, he wasn't really doing that. So, for that reason, I think that's pretty unlikely among some others. My best guess is that there's a fund that holds Tesla that has come to the decision of just saying, you know what, we're done with it, and has decided to exit their position. I think whenever we see stuff like that happen, not that we know that's what's happening, but whenever we see this, significant underperformance from Tesla as an outlier, I think there's momentum traders that jump into that. You probably have shorts hopping on that as well, driving the price down even further, taking advantage of the uncertainty in the stock during this moment. Almost why would you not if it is like this? And Elon's been a little bit focused on other things. Probably a great time to do that, especially before the end of the year, especially with all the uncertainty around Tesla in China right now. So I think we're seeing a multitude of those things that'll hit stop losses, that'll hit margin calls, and that kind of accelerates things down further. Then the market can take advantage of those lower prices once that's all kind of flushed out. So I think that's kind of what we're seeing, but it's all just my best speculation. Getting into the macro news, we'll start off with the CPI. We'll cover this pretty quickly, but CPI, as I mentioned, did come in lower than expected. 7.1% increase was the headline number. We'll just quickly hop over to the charts here. We can see that that has continued to trend down really nicely, as we have seen over the last 6 months or so. So that's a positive, as well as coming in below expectations, just how it's looking. And then on a month-over-month basis, probably the more important gauge because that'll be more indicative of what inflation is going forward. The month-over-month number, headline number, did come in just 0.1% higher than last month. As you can see, that's quite a bit lower than where we've been for, the earlier parts of this year. So, looking really good on that front. Core CPI, it's a little bit less of a clear story. Did come in a little bit lower than expectations at 6.0% year over year versus expectations of about 6.1%. But we're not seeing that same kind of smooth curve down like we have been seeing in the headline number. Of course, core, if you're not familiar, that excludes food and energy prices. Month over month core, unfortunately, investing.com hadn't updated their chart when I grabbed it, but I did add it over to the side here. That came in at up 0.2% month over month. So it was a bit higher than the headline number as energy prices drove those down. But that came in, even though it is a little bit higher, it did come in at the lowest month over month increase since August of last year. So some pretty good results there as we head into the FOMC meeting tomorrow. Probably as good as we could have expected going into CPI this morning. The other kind of interesting point on this, if we look at shelter, if you factor out shelter, so kind of throw shelter into that core CPI number, but exclude shelter as well. So core CPI ex shelter. For the last 2 months in a row, we have seen a decline there on a month-over-month basis. So blog here has kind of done some tracking of that, and they've annualized that month-over-month change. So that's annualizing to down 1% or down 1.5% in the last 2 months. So that is something that the FOMC looks at and is definitely an interesting trend. A lot of people assume that shelter lags a little bit behind. So if you factor out the increases from shelter, there's an argument to be made that we're already seeing a little bit of deflation. So hopefully, we'll see that sort of reacted to, or at least commented on with the FOMC meeting tomorrow. Okay. Getting into Elon's comments on the stock. So again, based on him even being willing to comment on these things that are somewhat explicitly related to the stock, I think it's unlikely that he's selling. But starting off last night, he had a comment replying to Pope of Muskanity here saying, "Haven't we Tesla investors suffered enough already? If you abandoned us, that would have been better than if we had been burned like others in the fire that destroyed FTX. Then we started weeping, et cetera, et cetera." So, pretty poetic tweet there, but Elon replying to that with just a simple chart of how net present value is calculated, emphasizing that it's just a discount of future cash flows. So Elon basically saying, it's not on me to determine the value of Tesla stock, it's on the value of the future cash flows. And of course, that is accurate. That is how everything eventually earns the valuation that it holds. But the day-to-day valuation that a stock holds obviously comprises a lot of different things. A lot of times, the opinions or expectations, of course, about what this is going to be, and those fluctuate and those change. I think valid points on both sides, but lean more towards Elon here. Ultimately, this is what's going to drive the stock. It's the fundamentals and all that other stuff. While it does matter on a day-to-day basis, that's going to decline in importance as time goes by and as these numbers solidify. So, good point from Elon there, I think. And I guess just kind of a reminder of that, which is good to see. And then he did actually have a couple more comments today. So a few hours later, Holmar's here, pointing out that a lot of, most of Elon Musk's net worth is in Tesla. He doesn't seem too worried. And he says that's because he knows Tesla is going to be okay. So Elon replied to that and saying Tesla will be great long term, but doesn't control macroeconomic tides. So great long term, but not necessarily a lot that can be done to control for the uncertainty that we're in right now. Elon had, of course, a couple of other comments, as we have seen him have in recent weeks, about the macroeconomic uncertainty, again, relating to the Fed and what we see the Fed do tomorrow. So, it's good to have that reassurance. It's nice to have Elon at least commenting a little bit on Tesla. Elon seemed a little bit more chill on Twitter today, which I think was welcome to me at least. I did find it interesting, though, the contrast to his comment shortly following that one, where he said, "Don't want to jinx it, but SpaceX is positioned to grow strongly no matter what macroeconomic conditions are like." So it's kind of like, this is a great comment to see from Elon. And then he comes back and says, "Well, macroeconomics don't actually matter to SpaceX." Not saying that directly, but not as much. He did follow up with a tweet referencing Starlink, and I think it's a good point. People, kind of regardless of the macroeconomic conditions, are going to continue to need internet and pay for internet, and that's obviously the majority of or the big driver of growth and revenue for SpaceX right now. So I think Elon's point there just being that that's a lot less subject to trends in the macroeconomy than a company like Tesla is. Not necessarily anything to do with the positioning of each company or anything like that. So those are kind of my takes on that. Elon then did have a couple of other comments. Here, Holmar's again saying, "Unpopular opinion, Elon Musk owning Twitter elevates Tesla's brand reach and marketing." Elon replying to that with a little bit of a promise here for Tesla shareholders: "I will make sure Tesla shareholders benefit from Twitter long term." So again, I think we've seen a little bit chiller of an Elon today. I think it's nice that he is acknowledging Tesla shareholders, and it's obviously been a difficult time for many. And I think that's fair. I do think that we should also consider how, from Elon's perspective, this kind of comes across. Yes, it's a tough time for investors. It has also only been a year or two. May feel like a really long time, but from Elon's perspective, he's been working on Tesla for a couple of decades. He's created tremendous value, up 135 times since IPO. When he's sitting on Twitter and most of his engagement, or a lot of his engagement at least, is investors complaining, probably doesn't come across all that great. So I understand it. It's frustrating. It's frustrating for everybody that is holding shares, and no one likes to see losses. But at the same time, I think when we're sharing feedback with Elon, which can be very much justified, I think criticism is very welcome from time to time, we should probably at least consider his perspective, where from him, he's created a ton of value. And then when it starts to drop a little bit, complaints come in. So doesn't mean those complaints are unjustified, just means we should probably collectively consider how those are being structured. So anyway, sort of inside there, but I was glad to see Elon talking a little bit about this today. As for how that would happen, who knows? Could be brand and marketing, things like that. I think there are a lot of things that Elon is going to be doing with Twitter that are just completely unknown to us right now. So just like it's not always exactly clear how SpaceX and Tesla might work together and benefit from each other, those things find ways to happen. So I think Elon, you know, making a point to just say, this has been difficult, but long-term, make sure Tesla shareholders benefit as well. So again, happy to see that. He did also reply to Alex Voigt here on Twitter saying, you know, as a Tesla investor, make sure you don't get distracted and are still able to distinguish between noise and signal. Obviously, very much agree with that sentiment. Alex saying has a feeling that many can't do that with Tesla. Elon chiming in on that and said, think long-term and avoid leverage. So on one hand, we're getting a lot of positive feedback here from Elon. Tesla will be great long-term. Twitter will make, you know, will benefit Tesla shareholders, but at the same time, we then have macroeconomic warnings and avoid leverage warnings, which this is probably the third or fourth time Elon has said this. So I think pay attention to that. I think I've said that a lot on this podcast as well. But when we got Elon talking about this, it's something to pay attention to. All right, moving on, maybe one of the reasons for that to, you know, pay attention to and avoid those things. Moving into China insured vehicles, we do have an update here, and I was actually pretty pleased with these numbers. I had said that, you know, I'd be happy with insured vehicle numbers increasing week over week. We did end up seeing that. So for the week of December 5th through the 11th, insured vehicles for Tesla in China came in at just shy of 13,000, 12,977, which was up from the 11,670 from the week prior. So like we had talked about, and I'd kind of mapped out, you know, what I was concerned about, which was the spike and then significant decline, consistently declining after the effect of those price drops that we had seen around this period of time start to wear off. But here we have a little bit of relief of that type of a projection or something like that, where we do see orders now or deliveries popping back up. So while it would have been great to see a number, you know, a higher number here that's closer to what Tesla's weekly production output could be, which is more in the 20,000 range, I'm certainly happy to just see a little bit of an invalidation of continued decline, because that means there's still a decent possibility that this continues to increase. Even if it doesn't continue to increase, here's where we sit for the quarter. So we now have 20 days left. We've been pretty consistently updating this throughout the quarter. So 20 days left now. And we can see how we're coming in compared to other quarters. Right now, let me look at my numbers here. We are 23,000 shy, depending on how you kind of account for retail and insurance and the slight differences between those numbers and how they're reported. We're about 23,000 away from having a record quarter here in Q4. Now, that should be expected with record production, with price cuts. But at the same time, as we've talked about, difficult market in China right now. So if they can get to a record, that would be something that I would be happy with. Obviously, at the start of the quarter, I would have expected more. But if they can get there, I'll be happy with that. And for Tesla to do that, if we go back to these weekly numbers, they only need to average 8,000 per week for the next 3 weeks after this data. So definitely not a huge ask or a huge stretch with the 13,000 that we got this week. If Tesla continues at that rate, could certainly go higher. But if they even continue at that rate, that would put us at about 37,000 remaining at the end of the month, and then you're looking at beating this record by 12,000, which would be, you know, up in this range, and I think a pretty healthy record and healthy increase month over month, or quarter over quarter rather, especially considering the challenges that we've got in China right now. So would have been great to have a better number, but like I said, going into it, anything increasing here is a number that I would have been happy with. That doesn't mean the market's happy with it necessarily, but those are my, you know, my own personal thoughts. As for production, I know I got some questions just over the last couple of days, you know, what's going on with production? We're in December 13th now, like what are you hearing? I'm not hearing anything new. So I think I addressed this yesterday. You know, I shared my thoughts. I said, you know, I still expect this downtime to occur from the 25th to the 31st, or to January 1st, whatever it was. And that outside of that, if we even factor that out, I still expect that we'll see a lower production rate on the Model Y than we saw in December. So read between the lines on that. I'm still saying I expect production declines in the month. We're not necessarily just going to see that, because some of it might be happening from a shift perspective where it's going to be difficult for us to notice if there's a shift that's 2 hours shorter or something like that, or you know, if there's a day off of production. We're probably not going to have really strong insight on that unless some other news or rumors break out until really until the end of the month, or at least until we get to that, you know, full shutdown. So obviously we'll see what happens there. May happen, may not. But as I said yesterday, that is still my expectation. Okay. Also on China, possibly some good news here in terms of just the economy in China in general. Reuters today reported that China's leaders are expected to gather this month to set next year's economic agenda, and they'll likely map out, according to Reuters, more stimulus steps, eager to underpin growth and to ease disruptions caused by a sudden end to COVID-19 curbs. So this could be pretty impactful. Obviously, we'll keep an eye on this as the month goes on, but we've seen China pretty heavily, you know, when they've initiated stimulus, we've seen a lot of that take place in the electric vehicle market. We know the new energy vehicle credits are set to expire. China can say that those are going to expire because, you know, that helps drive demand. And then, oh, all of a sudden, at the end of the year, maybe it comes back. So I wouldn't be too surprised to see something like that. I don't think Chinese consumers would be all that surprised to see something like that. But we'll definitely have to keep a close eye on this. And even if it's not a direct EV subsidy or something like that, if there are other stimulus items, that could just help change the market that we saw, which, as we talked about, for November, auto market annualizing to pretty much a 9-year low. So we'll keep an eye on that later this month. We do have an update on, let's see, Giga Berlin here as well. So Tesla, RBB report here, Tesla wants to apply for several extensions for the Giga Berlin factory. Headline probably sounds a little bit more exciting than the actual body of the article here. They talk about a recycling plant that Tesla has had up and running at Giga Berlin, but in September, authorities banned further use of that facility. I think we talked about that at the time. So Tesla has to seek approval to now restart that operation. So they're working on that. They also say, according to information, Tesla then wants to apply for expansion of the car factory. We've talked about that. Tesla could reuse more water. So this is just speculation about the water situation, which, as we know, continues to be tight. So Tesla could implement things to further reduce their water needs. And then they also say that on Thursday, the municipal council in Grünheide approved a change in the development plan for Giga Berlin, in which the company would be able to create a logistics and service area as soon as possible for on around 100 hectares of the Giga Berlin land. So I'm pretty sure we had talked about this already, but it does sound like there's been some progress in the approval process for that logistics area of Giga Berlin. All right, next we've got an update on software. We've talked about the holiday update a few times here, but it looks like it is now hitting in North America, so pretty exciting. Not a Tesla app here covering the release notes on this. Of course, we've got Apple Music as speculated. Steam is now hitting. So this is, it's tricky because it's a very small subset of vehicles that this is functional on. This feature is available on Model S and X year 2022 plus. So a lot of the refresh Model S and X can't actually use this feature yet. But the most newly produced vehicles can, and Elon did say on Twitter that there will be a retrofit for those older refreshed Model S and X to be able to make this work. So Steam, obviously a game, I guess, I don't know what you'd call it, but a game cloud service, I guess. I think Tesla tweeted out that this will allow access to 1,000 games, which this is a huge update that I haven't actually seen get a lot of attention today. It's huge. Like, this is basically putting a gaming console in the vehicle, which, you know, Tesla basically talked about on the launch of the refreshed S and X, but at that point they were still kind of teetering between, okay, do we develop specific titles for this like Cyberpunk and kind of go that way, or do we pause that for a bit, make work on integrating Steam in its entirety, and they've gone with that latter route, and now we're seeing that hit. So all of a sudden, with an over-the-air software update, Tesla's, you know, pushing this feature, which is, again, pretty huge for anyone that is interested in games in their car. Dog mode stuff, media controls, MyQ, we talked about all that stuff, climate control, Zoom meetings. So it sounds like these are coming. I don't think we've got confirmation of that from anyone. I saw some debate on that in Twitter, but it sounds like that is coming as well. Mahjong, Always Rainbows, we talked about, Scheduled Light Show, we talked about, Auto Turn Signals, we talked about, some of the other things we talked about. I think track mode, probably the only other thing that we hadn't talked about yet. Actually, now that I'm saying that, maybe we did. But track mode coming for the Model Y, for the performance Model Y. and then some auto present door handle features, being able to stop that from happening at home. So yeah, I think those are most of them. I think we had talked about most of those, but again, probably the biggest thing here would be that Steam update that we had not talked about yet. All right, last couple of things here. Tesla has installed some mega chargers at, at Sacramento. Sorry, I was just taking a look at the chat, making sure everything's working okay. So Tesla's installed some mega chargers. I think they're now calling them semi chargers, if I remember correctly. I think the name has slightly changed on that. At the Pepsi Sacramento facility. So we knew previously that they had these installed at the Modesto facility, now being installed in Sacramento as well, or rather had previously been installed at Sacramento as well. So it means that Pepsi's already got a route where they've got both the point of origin and the destination with mega chargers at it. So it's kind of hard to see in these photos here. You can just see them tucked behind the windows. And if I zoom in a little bit on this one, you kind of see the mega charger there. And then we get a nicer, cleaner shot without the semis there from Google Images. So pretty cool to see that. Hopefully we'll continue to hear more about these popping up at different Pepsi and Frito-Lay factories. Lastly then, just an update from the EPA. We've got an article here from CNBC where I feel like they kind of buried the lead. They say GM and Stellantis rank as worst automakers for fuel efficiency. The EPA says in a new report. That new report is here. This is a multi-hundred page report. Pretty interesting stuff. Haven't had time to unfortunately go through all of that today. But basically just breaking down emissions and performance characteristics by brand. Anyway, where I say CNBC kind of buried the lead here, they talk about how these efficiency metrics have changed over the years. And for Stellantis and for GM, they say that both automakers decreased their fuel economy and increased CO2 emissions since the 2016 model year, according to the EPA data, as did Hyundai, as did Mazda, and as did Volkswagen. I mean, these are companies, especially GM and Volkswagen, that have made a huge deal about electrification and, you know, how they're investing so heavily in that, how they're doing so much of that. Now we're sitting here and looking at the data, and somehow, even with those supposed huge pushes, they've actually increased emissions over the last 6 years. Now, I think a lot of that is trending towards larger vehicle size, but still, I mean, that's pretty telling data there for companies that have made huge deals about this. So interesting, and I do want to spend a little bit more time working through some of these things. But that'll wrap it up for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the, I think we're on Wednesday tomorrow. This week has been crazy, but Wednesday, December 14th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.